Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Playoff week, wild card, Saturday. Ravens 9.5-point favorites, at least for today, at least for this hour. Let me refresh. Yeah, it's still 9.5 against the Steelers. Third matchup between the two. Here to break it down from the Baltimore Sun. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Childs Walker. Childs, thanks for joining us. Belated Happy New Year and all that fun stuff to you.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year to you. We can't seem to get the kids back in school, but other than that, we're doing okay.
Might have a 2-hour delay today.
Hey, less traffic, the better for us old curmudgeons around here driving, if you know what I'm saying, Childs Walker. Now, Lamar Jackson admitted yesterday to the media that during the playoffs, where the numbers dip significantly from regular season, we've even come up with regular season Lamar versus playoff Lamar. Usually it's playoff, this guy is better than regular season, that guy. You know what we're talking about here. Skittish, things go too fast. Were you surprised, Childs, that he was that open explaining why the postseason has been somewhat of a struggle for him, sitting at 2-4, 1-3 at home?
I was a little surprised to hear him acknowledge it so clearly. You know, I feel like it's something that he's sort of talked around in past years. You know, he's always had sort of a head down attitude of, you know, I'm upbeat. I always think we're going to play great in the next game, even if that's a playoff game. Like he's never really said what he said yesterday. You know, even though these questions were looming just as large last year as they are this year. And maybe it's a positive side. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I'm obviously not a psychologist, but I mean, when you do talk to people in that profession, you know, sometimes they'll say that, you know, acknowledging an issue like that is sometimes the biggest step toward correcting it. So, you know, maybe you can take some heart from that, but it was very interesting. It's not really like him.
Hey, Childs, my question is how, cause maybe a lot of it rubs off from Harbs. Is Harbs tense and tight this week, or does he seem more relaxed?
That's a good question, Vinny. You know, it was a little bit weird because we
Zoom
because of the weather on Monday, we talked to him on Zoom instead of being in person with him. So it was a little bit harder to get a feel for where he is. I will say he was pretty short with a lot of his answers. So I wouldn't say he seemed totally loose and cheerful. But we may get a better feel of that today and tomorrow. I mean, obviously we'll talk to him again tomorrow on the podium. Hard to say. I mean, to me, though, there's always an extra level of anxiety when they play the Steelers. I think that's undeniable. Even though they won the last game, you know, they sort of cast off the albatross to some degree. There were some tense moments in that game. They got through it. They won by double digits. But I don't think that story is ever over. I mean, everyone knows that the games in this series get weird and ugly, and the Steelers just have a knack of dragging them out of their style of play. So even though on paper, like if you don't know the history of the rivalry, you don't know the vibes, like a person outside of Baltimore is probably thinking, why would the Ravens be worried about this game, right? It's a clear mismatch. We know the point spread. But if you've been inside it for years, you know there's always tension around it. And so, yes, I think that's there this week. I think it has to be.
Now, what were you feeling when you were talking to the players in the locker room, number one and number two? I heard Zay was walking around in a knee brace. What did he look like in the knee brace? And your gut tells you what about Saturday night?
He was wearing like track pants when I saw him walking around. So I didn't get a look or a clear look at whatever he had in his knee. I mean, he was, I would say, moving fairly comfortably, but not normally. I mean, you know, you could see it felt like he didn't maybe have full flex of that leg. We don't know exactly what the injury is. I would be surprised if he plays on Saturday. I guess you can't rule it out completely given how big a game it is, but I mean, you certainly don't want to get into a situation where you have him out there and you make it worse and then he's not available for subsequent games. So I think they probably feel like they can win this game without him and you don't push it and you hope to have him for Buffalo and then Kansas City. That's my guess as to how that goes. In terms of the overall mood of the players, I thought it was a pretty normal, upbeat locker room. It didn't feel tense or quiet or weird. I mean, you know, everybody that we talked to, you know, seemed very task focused, but you know, the tone of what the guys were saying at the podium or in the locker room, it wasn't too different than usual. I mean, you know, they've been here many times. I mean, most of the key players here now have played in a lot of playoff games. So, I mean, they didn't seem rattled by anything. I'll put it that way.
Now the last time they played a couple of weeks ago, the O-line just came out and handled that defensive front. Do you think they can do that again? They played it differently. Remember the last time they took Lamar and let Henry, on the run-pass option stuff, they let Henry have the ball. And I don't know. Then they switched at halftime, you know, and then all of a sudden Lamar started carrying the ball. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do defensively.
Yeah, I mean, they really did set the tone with Henry early. They really went right at Pittsburgh. It wasn't even like they were. I mean, they weren't running outside either. I mean, they were gouging them. You know, right in the middle.
And, yeah.
And you know that ended up being really important in that game. I mean, they go for 220 rushing yards in that game. And you know, I think Pittsburgh hasn't given up more than like 150 in any other game this season. So I mean, we know the upside of this running game, right? And certainly, if you look at the biggest difference. And I'm writing a story on this right now. I mean, if you look at the biggest difference between the 24 Ravens and the 23 Ravens, it's Derrick Henry, right? It's not, you don't have to be a genius to see that. I mean, you know, he is a guy who can set a tone either in the first half or as the closer in the second half. And I mean, he's got to be a huge part of the game plan one way or another on Saturday night. You would think the Steelers would be keyed to that early in the game and maybe it would be a little bit harder. And their defense also will be healthier this time. I mean, that is something to keep in mind. They were missing a lot of guys in the last game. I mean, you know, I know Watt played, but he was coming off the ankle injury. You know, they were missing Sean Elliott, who's, you know, they're kind of their hardest hitter back in the secondary. Didn't have Ogunjobi. I mean, this wasn't, we didn't see the full Pittsburgh defense the last time. So, you know, they're going to be amped up for Henry. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see, you know, a little bit of a different twist to start the game, because these games are never, it's never identical to the last one, even though as much as you want to look at the last one. But the Ravens have to have Henry factor big at some point in the game to play the way they want to play. So I do think we'll see it at some point. Whether that's in the first quarter or not, I don't know.
Childs Walker, Baltimore Sun, joining us, Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan. Childs, last thing for you, Justin Tucker, your confidence level in him compared to what it was the first time these two teams played up in Pittsburgh, and your prediction for this wild card matchup. Steelers haven't won a playoff game since 2016. Ravens big favorites here, 9.5.
Yeah, if my confidence level in Justin Tucker was probably in like 3-4 range the last time, it's right. Probably now back up in the 7-8 range. Again, I think, you know, we still haven't seen him line up for a clutch kick in difficult conditions in one of these games since the bye. But everything we've seen has been good. I mean, he seems confident again. The kicks are right down the middle. He's had plenty of distance, so you have to feel better about that. And I picked the Ravens 27-19.
Childs Walker, Baltimore Sun. Childs, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday. Have fun at the game. And hopefully next week we're talking about a trip to Buffalo.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
You got it, Childs. Walker, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, whip around. A lot going on. World of sports last night. We'll address all of that. And then Notes from the North will start in Pittsburgh with Ray Fittipaldi. That's coming up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Up 11:30.
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Good evening, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the whip around on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Justin Verlander, 1-year deal, $15 million, 42 years old. San Francisco Giants, last week, Orioles, Charlie Morton, 1 year, $15 million, 41 years old. Both with big resumes, both with great playoff success. So Nolan McGraw, real quick, any issues it wasn't Verlander versus Morton or Morton versus Verlander, Finkel, Einhorn?
No.
Either way?
I'm going to assume that Max Scherzer is going to get in the same ballpark as well. Probably $15 million on the dot when it's all said and done. That was the group of three. You're pushing 40 or already past 40 years of age. But of those three, no one has been more consistent than Charlie Morton over the last 3 years.
Charlie Morton, 30 starts last year. Justin Verlander, 17. And in his last seven, his earned run average was like 9 bazillion. But good luck to him because he's going to a Cooperstown when it is all said and done. College football playoffs, they resume tomorrow night. We talked about it earlier. It is Penn State taking on Notre Dame. I mean, it's all four traditional schools.
Yep.
In traditional games, the Orange Bowl, Cotton Bowl might not be in the Cotton Bowl, but it's still called the Cotton Bowl. So I'm quite excited about this Final Four. Tomorrow it's Penn State, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish 1.5-point favorites here. Remember, Notre Dame lost, what, week two to Northern Illinois, who did make a bowl game. Northern Illinois, Penn State, their loss was to Ohio State, and a painful one at that. So
yeah,
Freeman versus Franklin.
They lost. Yeah, I think, I still think it comes down to the running game, Bob, because both teams have good running backs. Both teams want to run the ball. I think Penn State can throw it better than Notre Dame. That's the only thing.
And then Texas, Ohio State, that'll be Friday night. Buckeyes, 5.5-point favorites, as they've made easy work of both Oregon in their last game. And Tennessee, it's like they never even got off the plane a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and the way that game started, yeah, Oregon didn't get off the plane either. So Texas has just got to come out of that first quarter even. And then that's what they got to do.
College hoops last night. Well, Maryland, first of all, 11-4, taking on UCLA. Now 11-4. We'll get to them in a second. Friday night, 8 o'clock tip. It's on Fox, so a national TV extravaganza. You can hear the game on 105.7 The Fan. Maryland coming off losses at Washington, then Oregon. UCLA lost to Nebraska, and then lost at home last night to Michigan. Speaking of that, Big Ten, number 24, Wolverines, 94-75 over the Bruins. UCLA was getting thumped early, came back, actually led in the second half, and then the Wolverines pulled away late. Mick Cronin was lambasting his team after the game, called them soft, bunch of wussies or whatever it was. So he was running hot. Pauley Pavilion used to be the mecca of college basketball, at least out west. There were more Michigan fans there, it seemed, as they were cheering on. So Dusty May getting them on the old Dusty Trail back to success out in Ann Arbor. UCLA coming to Baltimore. Two teams, or College Park, I should say. Two teams, UCLA, Maryland, in need of a win.
Yeah, both need a win.
In need of a win. Iowa beat Nebraska, speaking of the Cornhuskers, in overtime, 97-87. Nationally, number 8, Florida, if you want to call it upset. Well, the margin of victory was astonishing. Blows out number 1, previously undefeated Tennessee. Now, Florida lost at Kentucky on Saturday in a great game, 106-100. But the Gators early and often. Volunteers, they shot 20% from the floor, 10% from beyond the arc. They get spanked. Florida, Todd Golden, 14-1 on the year. Speaking of Kentucky, SEC's loaded, by the way, folks. Georgia, remember, Nolan, we were talking yesterday, Lenardi's bracketology had Maryland taking on Georgia 8-9 game. Well, Georgia beat Kentucky, coming off that win against Florida, 82-69. Sixth-ranked Wildcats lose. Arizona, don't look now, they're on fire. They won 5 in a row, including 2 overranked teams like West Virginia last night, 75-56. So the Wildcats stabilizing after a shaky beginning. And locally, it was Morgan. Morgan State, 102-98 over North Carolina Central. NBA last night here on the Whip Around. Rockets taking on the Wiz. Downtown Baltimore, Jalen Green. Or why do I keep saying Baltimore? They used to be the Baltimore Bullets, but downtown D.C., Jalen Green at 29. And a local kid from Baltimore, he pitched in a big way, too.
Whitmore going up against his childhood friend in Carrington. Gets inside, misses, follows his miss and scores.
Monumental on the call, Cam Whitmore at 17, scoring on Bub Carrington, first-round pick of the Wizards. Two Baltimore kids going at it. Bub had 12, 4, and 5 there. It was Charlotte, 115-104 over Phoenix. LaMelo Ball, I keep getting them all. One of them's now a rap star, apparently.
Really?
The Jan Brady of the basketball bunch is now the rap king of the Ball family. But the younger one, LaMelo, he had 32. And Damian Lee, Baltimore Calvert Hall, DNP coach's decision for the Suns. Miami beat Golden State, 114-98. Haywood Highsmith, another Baltimore kid, Archbishop Curley, 5.6 boards, 5 assists there. And then finally on the Whip, this day in sports history, real quick, January 8th, 50 years ago today, Cole Fieldhouse, 5th-ranked Maryland, beat Duke, 83-77. John Lucas had 22 points. Owen Brown, 17. Terps improved to 9-1 on the season. That Maryland team made it all the way to the Elite Eight. We will follow that along as the season progresses. When we come back, however, back to the football talk. Notes from the North. We're starting in Pittsburgh. We'll go to Cincy, go to Cleveland. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense, the win against the Browns. All coming your way. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny Hedy, Nolan McGraw. Playoff week here on The Fan.
Bengals.
Chase to the end zone. That's a Bengal touchdown.
Browns.
Toss down. Miles Garrett gets home.
Steelers.
Pressure ball out. Picked up. Walk. Touchdown Steelers.
Ravens.
Lamar winding up. Going deep for Bateman. He's got it.
The toughest division in football. Notes from the North. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Notes from the North All of our guests are brought to you by the Window Nation Guest Hotline. We'll start it in Pittsburgh. Steelers coming to town, taking on the Ravens Saturday night. Wild card round of the postseason from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's welcome back to the show Ray Fittipaldo. Ray, good morning. Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us. And in these parts, hey, it's a regular season Lamar versus playoff Lamar. Playoff Lamar, not as great as regular season Lamar, but in Pittsburgh, Steelers haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. So how's that resonating with the Steelers fans heading into this game against the Ravens?
Yeah, for two organizations that are really known for winning, and, you know, the Steelers, six-time Super Bowl champions, and, you know, the Ravens, two-time champions, it's, you know, there's been some long droughts here. And I know that the Ravens, you know, started once Lamar got there, haven't really been able to get over the hump and get to a Super Bowl. And the Steelers just haven't had a playoff win flat out since 2016. So I think everyone realizes where these two teams are right now. Ravens won 4 in a row. Steelers lost 2 in a row. I think the Steelers have to hope that they do get playoff Lamar. And maybe the Ravens play a little bit tight. I really think that's the only way that the Steelers are going to have a chance in this game. If they come out and play the way they usually do, I think the Ravens are going to win this handily.
What is the issues with the offense? Like, Pickens couldn't catch a ball last week, and Russell Wilson was, you know, why? You know, you ask yourself, what is he doing? You know, towards the end of the game there with the clock.
Yeah, I mean, they really want to play a brand of football where it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust and they control the clock, but they're just not built that way right now. They've got some injuries up front on the offensive line. They're young on the offensive line. And really, they're getting themselves into a lot of second and long, third and long situations. And, you know, Russ was pretty good in those situations, I would say, early to midseason. But here lately, he's really struggled to move this offense. I think last week against the Bengals, just a 148 passing. So they need to get Pickens more involved, but overall they need to get the passing game going. It was good October, November, but it really hasn't been good December and January.
Now, I watched the film of the Bengals game. I thought the defense played well. For a Bengal team that scores a lot of points, I thought they handled them pretty well.
Yeah, you know, they had a lot of communication issues in those losses against the Eagles and, you know, the Ravens the first time and then the Chiefs, but they really cleaned that up against the Bengals. I think if you're looking for one positive, if you're a Steelers fan going into this game, it's, yeah, you know, Burrow was averaging 28, 30 points a game. He comes in here and they hold him to mostly field goals after that first touchdown. So that is one positive. But, you know, if you're the Steelers, you've got to play complementary football too. Special teams were really good early in the season. They really haven't been impactful here late in the season. And we just got done talking about the offense. Even if the defense does go out and hold the Ravens to say 20 points, really not a lot of evidence in the last month that the Steelers can get over 20, 21, 22 points to, you know, eke out a victory.
Ray, last thing for you. You don't sound confident in Pittsburgh chances against the Ravens Saturday. Last question, is the quarterback of the 2025 Steelers on the current roster?
I think so. I think they like Russ. I think they have to continue to build around him. I think this game on Saturday would have to go pretty sour for them to move on from him. So he's done some good things here, but I think he needs some help, needs better receivers, and I think they can use another piece or two on that offensive line as well.
All right, Ray, thanks for your time as always. Have fun Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Ray Fittipaldo, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's go to Cincinnati, the team that was going to scary one. They were going to be peeing their pants if they faced the Bengals in the postseason. Unfortunately for Cincinnati fans, they didn't get in. Here to talk about that from Fox 19. Let's welcome back to the show Joe Dannemann. Joe, appreciate the time. Joe Burrow, monster season. Offense, incredible. Chase Brown, nice replacement. And then some for Joe Mixon. But instead of being, in theory, the scary team for this year's playoffs, which they didn't get to, how did they become a real scary team in next year's postseason?
Well, it started yesterday when this team started interviewing new defensive coordinators. And we've said all along, all year on the show, that if the defense in Cincinnati was just okay, that this team would be capable of winning playoff games and maybe being a contender to get back to a Super Bowl. But the defense was bottom 10 in the NFL. They bottomed out midseason when they lost to Pittsburgh and dropped to 4-8. And at that point, it felt like everybody in Cincinnati made a concession speech that this team wasn't going to the playoffs. Now, they did rally with a soft schedule at the end of the year to win their final five. I don't think Zach Taylor was ever really on a hot seat, but he certainly cooled those conversations by winning the final five and giving the Bengals a chance on Sunday to sit on their couch and hope that the Denver Broncos could beat a depleted Kansas City Chiefs team to get them into the playoffs. Didn't happen, so the Bengals are making changes defensively on their coaching staff. It's not just changes on the defensive coaching staff. They need better players on defense, and Zach Taylor and this offensive coaching staff, but even Joe Burrow himself, need to find a way to play better football in the month of September. The Bengals have lost their first two games to start a season, 5 of the 6 years that Zach Taylor's been the head coach. They have to get off to better starts. It crippled them this year with the 0-3 start, the 1-4 start, and it's the reason they're not going to the playoffs.
What did the Steelers do that other teams haven't been able to do against that Bengals offense to only allow them 19 points and play so good in the red zone?
Pressure Joe Burrow, and that's been the other thing, too, the Bengals have kind of circled as what they've got to get done in here in the offseason. Look, this is going to become one of the most critical offseasons in Bengals history, considering this Joe Burrow window they have right now. They have to fix their defense. They have to extend Ja'Marr Chase. They have to decide what they're doing with T. Higgins. And they also have to fix this offensive line. And just like they did with the defense, which was a problem, they fired the defensive coordinator. The Bengals have fired their offensive line coach. They had an offensive line problem, not just this year, but the year before and the year before that. They've invested too much money, too much draft capital for this offensive line not to perform well enough to keep Joe Burrow clean. That was a difference in the Bengals' offense against the Steelers. He just did not have enough time, and that's been the case ever since he got in the league. He hasn't had enough time. He gets hit too much, and it's starting to wear on him as he gets later into his career. So that's another one of those checkpoints the Bengals have to cross this offseason, is fixing their offensive line and getting them to the point where they can play better and protect Joe.
Who do you think the media and the fan base wants as the DC?
Patrick Graham seems to be the name that is coming up the most as maybe someone they can get. He's the defensive coordinator in Vegas. He worked with Bill Belichick and Brian Flores. That seems to be the hot name in Cincinnati right now. Of course, when this happened, everybody said Robert Saleh from the New York Jets, who lost his job as the head coach, but he seems to be getting at least some looks as head coaching jobs open up in the NFL. That one, to me, feels like it won't happen. He just seems too big of a name, maybe too expensive, and he might be able to find better jobs, including head coaching jobs, that those do open up. And
Oh, Joe Dannemann. Intercept. Oh, here we go. All right, Joe.
Patrick Graham seems to be the name that everybody here in Cincinnati is circling.
Joe, who's the AFC champions for this season?
Ooh, tough question. Is this Lamar's year? That's what I'm so interested to find out, if Lamar can get it done in the playoffs. But I think if you had to tell me to put my money on it, I just feel like what Josh Allen's done this year and what the Buffalo Bills have done throughout the regular season, I would put my money on Buffalo going to the AFC championship, winning it, and going to the Super Bowl.
Joe Dannemann, Fox 19 in Cincy. Joe, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy your time off, at least from talking to us, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Joe.
So, thanks, guys.
You got it. Joe Dannemann, everybody. Now let's go to Cleveland. Browns season came to an end in Baltimore last Saturday, and here to talk about that, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Notes from the North, from the Big Play Network. Let's welcome back Mike Borman. Mike, good morning. Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us. And we've seen the Browns rock bottom before. Just not long ago, they were a winless team. In rock bottom scale, where's the organization sitting right now on January 8th, 2025?
Wow, great question. Good to be with you guys again. I would say in terms of expectations, because, again, you know, you're talking about rosters back when they were winless in 2017, and, I mean, rosters that were just awful. In terms of expectations, I think it's right there, but because of the roster they currently have, because you have some talented guys, granted, at key positions, they're still, you know, but you do have some big names, and I think you have a salary cap that continues to rise, and as much as this Deshaun Watson mess is going to haunt them, you know, I think they're going to be able to at least maneuver it, but there's no margin for error. So it's not to the level it was there because there was just no talent whatsoever. But when you weigh expectations, it absolutely is pretty disastrous.
I saw where Garrett wants to meet with management about what direction they're heading in. Has he met with them, and what is he going to tell? What are they going to tell him?
Well, it's interesting. Andrew Berry, Browns general manager, met with the media on Monday, and you know he said everything you want to hear if you're a fan. That you know we expect Miles to have a direct ticket from Cleveland to Canton, and he's staying here. And I think that they're going to you know try to extend him, but I think Miles, you know, he's been a very good soldier through all this. And I think he finally, like a lot of these guys, kind of reached his breaking point. Like, what are we doing? And, to your point, what can they tell him? Nothing other than, hey, we're really going to give this our best try. But, you know, for Myles Garrett, I think right now it's, you know, wait and see. And does he really believe? I think that he has respect for Kevin Stefanski. I think he has respect for Andrew Berry. But, you know, ownership, I couldn't tell you that. And I think that that's one thing that's weighing on him right now.
Mike Borman, last thing for you. Pittsburgh and Baltimore coming up Saturday. A year ago, the Browns are getting ready for a playoff game. So time certainly does fly. Handicap that one. And who wins the AFC in your opinion?
Boy, I think Baltimore takes care of the Steelers. I don't know what's going on with them offensively. Speaking of quarterback issues, what's the status of Zay Flowers? Do you guys think he's going to play?
Or? No, I would say no.
Yeah, I still like Baltimore. I think in terms of the AFC, boy, it feels like this is Josh Allen's year, but it also feels like, you know, are you really willing to bet against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? I'm going to go Bills. If Zay Flowers is healthy, to me, that's a big one right there. But I think ultimately it's the Buffalo Bills.
Mike Borman, the Big Play Network, talking Browns. Mike, appreciate your time throughout the course of the season. We'll catch up with you in due time for sure.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
There's Mike Borman, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, reset the program for you. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Going to hear from Lamar. Going to hear from Derrick Henry ahead of this wild card matchup with the Steelers. Buy or sell? Where's the midweek money? Hopefully counting at 12:15. And Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, talk about the moves the Orioles have made so far this offseason to stay competitive in the American League East and the tragic passing of Brian Madison. Buy or sell, 12:15. Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick talking about the Orioles, their offseason so far, as we're about 5 weeks away from pitchers and catchers. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense, 12:45. We'll get to the defense coming up around 1:30. Oh, by the way, later in the show, 1:15, after NFL lunch, Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. If you're new to the show, Steeler fan, but not an arrogant one like they tend to be. So we'll get his impressions of the playoff matchup. And then talk about the draft. We know the first 18 picks. Who's going number one?
Tennessee. Travis Hunter.
Tennessee.
Well, they need a quarterback.
Because New England doesn't.
Well, they need a GM first.
Yeah. Raiders fired Antonio Pierce yesterday, so. Musical chairs. Still doing their thing.
It's who Brady wants.
Jerry World declined the Bears' invitation or overtures. For Mike McCarthy, does that mean he's coming back? Who really knows? Either way, but coming up Friday, not to get lost in space too much, this show, Vinny and Haney with Nolan McGraw, we're going to be at the Green Valley Marketplace in Pasadena, right down the road from the old Bobster, from 10 to 2. All sorts of playoff preview stuff happening on the air. Talk Maryland, UCLA as well, and everything else going on that day. Real Fan Dan's going to be there. From 11 to 1:30, he'll be leading a cheer, hopefully a playoff victory cheer. Purple bead giveaway. Also, they got grub. It's a grocery store, so duh. But how about this? They have a wing bar. Mix and match 8 flavors. I'll get this thing down sooner or later. 8 different flavors. That's Saturday, 12 to 6, and then again Sunday from 11 to 4. The seafood steam pot. I'm taking one home with me. That's happening. That's a real thing for Friday. Perfect for home gating. Well, you got the playoff game, Ohio State and Texas. You got Maryland, UCLA. I'm home gating with one of those. And their scratch bakery. You want fresh breads and pastries and cakes and all that good stuff. It's Friday. Green Valley Marketplace in Pasadena. Look for directions. It's on Edwin Rayner Boulevard. Not hard to find. So if you're in the Anne Arundel County vicinity, stop on by. Say hello. You're kind of in my dojo. I'm in Glen Burnie. I'm actually from East Baltimore, but that's another story altogether. Noel, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good over here. You know, spring training is going to be here before we know it. And the Orioles treating us today, a little excitement, get you ready for the baseball season. They released their promotion schedule today, so all the giveaways for the 2025 season. There's some good ones in here. A lot of bobbleheads, as you would probably imagine. A couple Star Wars bobbleheads. Gunner and Colton Cowser get Star Wars-themed bobbleheads. Adley Rutschman gets a golf-themed bobblehead. That one looks pretty cool. And the new owner, David Rubenstein, has his own bobblehead now. He's standing there in his trademark jacket, tossing a hat as he's done. That's been his calling card.
I want to see his real head bobble yes to making a big trade for an ace. How's that sound?
He should be sitting behind a desk on the bobblehead, signing.
He should be holding a dollar bill or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
It's a bobblehead of him and Scott Boras shaking hands on an extension for Gunnar Henderson. By the way, if you would have dressed like your Ravens coming up Saturday, traditional home uniforms, the helmet, purple, and white pants. So there you go. And Nolan, we know you like to dress up like a little kid on game day.
Like a little kid?
Yeah. Or if you still dress up like a Raven, when I was a kid, remember we used to have those football uniforms you get in a box?
I had a Green Bay Packer one. I had
my Colts one. I was ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. All right.
Anything else for the people as we head to
Newsom? I wish they were wearing all black. I like the all black.
That's out of my pay grade.
I don't think you get the alternates in the playoffs. I don't think they let you do that.
I think they wore black jerseys in the championship game last year.
Well, could be wrong.
When I was in 94, we had a petition to get them, but we got them and we wore them.
Well, Vinny, you'll like this one here. Back to the Orioles real quick. The hockey sweater.
Oh,
hockey
cool.
sweater giveaway. They've done the soccer jerseys in the past. This one looks really nice. It's got like the Angry Bird logo where he's charging the mound.
Black and orange?
It's
what's
mostly
date?
Black.
When
is this one? April 18th. Early in the year.
No, you're going to need it.
Right? Yeah,
it's
going to be cold.
But, you know, as we've talked about before, and we love the Orioles and the promotions and everything they do for the people. And sizes are a little limit, you know what I'm saying? Big muscular guys like myself have a hard time fitting in some of these things.
Right. Well, a hockey sweater, I mean, that's supposed to be kind of loose fitting.
What, the T-shirts were what, like XLs, or were they?
They're XL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of us.
And they shrink to a medium real quick.
Yeah. It's mediums. But anyway, black and orange, that was the colors of the Baltimore Clippers way back when. Hockey team.
Go.
Black and orange, that's a winning combination. Flyers, Giants.
Okay.
Black and orange, winning combination. Anything else, Nolan McGraw?
That's it. I think that's it for the promotion.
All right. Let's get back news from the nest when we return to the program. Woman Crush Wednesday. Send your song request. Favorite female artist or band. Nolan's waiting for you. Plaza for text. Sign 410-583-1057. You know the number by heart. Buy or sell. It's Counts of Dough. Hopefully midweek style. And then Mike Bordick will talk about the black and orange. He's a Hall of Famer. Oriole Hall of Famer. Offseason moves so far. Satisfied. More to do. What are the biggest needs left to make for Mike Elias and David Rubenstein as we're 5 weeks-ish from spring training?